to Paul Diamond, our book reviewer this morning.
Morena, ngā mihi o te tauhou, if it's not too late to say that.
Oh, we can still sneak it in, I think, although it doesn't feel like it now.
That's right. Monday
felt more like it. all the best wishes to you for 2022. Let's hear about some of your favourite books. You've chosen three for us from your recent reading.
That's right, and I wasn't sure what really connected them, but I actually realised that they all really, these three titles rely on archives, the fact that archives get kept, but also importantly are made available. So the first one is the James Courage Diaries that were edited by Chris Brickle, who's a sociology professor at Otago University. So James Courage, you know, to give you an idea of his era, he was born in 1903, died in 1963, and he grew up on a sheep station near Amberley in Canterbury, went to Christ College. 1922, he went off to Oxford, and he wrote eight novels. And they've sort of been forgotten about, although I think they're having their moment, thanks to the work by Chris and others. One of those novels was called A Way of Love in 1959, described as New Zealand's first gay novel, and so promptly got banned in 1961. And I think it had an effect on the other works that he'd done. His papers were embargoed by his family till 2005 at the Hocken. So, you know, after midnight, Chris Brickle was there at the Hocken and others and starting to look at these amazing diaries. And of course, the irony is, I mean, we now have Courage Day, the New Zealand Society of Authors, which is the day that marks freedom of expression. But I was really surprised how readable and engaging these diaries are. They give a very vivid description of life in, mostly in London and in Cornwall, where Courage spent some time. Amazing sense of what it was like to live through the Blitz in London, and this remarkable frankness about being homosexual, or in the language of that time, it was he called himself an invert. So Chris has described Courage as, you know, one of our first gay activists, you know, in a hard era to be a gay man, you know, way before gay liberation. So that led me to other fiction that Courage wrote, The Young Have Secrets from 1954, which, like, I think sold 100,000 copies worldwide. It was a huge book. And Courage makes references to Catherine Mansfield in his diaries, and you can see how he really admired her style, that sharp observation. The Young Have Secrets has been compared to the book The Go-Between by L.P. Hartley. So anyone who liked that would really like this book, set in Christchurch, Sumner in 1914. Second book, The Disappearance of Lydia Harvey by Julia Leight, who is a history academic in London. So Lydia Harvey was from Oamaru, and in 1910, she's 16 years old. She's living in Wellington, working for a photographer, but long hours, low pay. She meets this character called Antonio Carvelli and his wife, Veronique, and they kind of offer her this sort of glamorous life and money to buy the things that she was seeing in shops not able to afford, which was being a prostitute in College Street in Wellington. And then they take her off to Buenos Aires, and then, which doesn't work out, so they try London. But in London, she testifies against him, and he goes to prison, but he's such a slippery character, he came back into England under a different name 6 months later. But the big idea about this book is that it's restoring this person who Julia Leight just noticed as part of a bigger study that she was doing. This is the sort of person who's not meant to stay in the history. You know, she's meant to disappear from the archives. So the format of the book is each chapter is a character involved with the case. So there's the woman herself, the police detective who discovered the case, the journalist, Schofield, who's actually quite a famous New Zealand journalist and historian, the middle-class social worker who was taking in and helping these women, the first person to actually do that with the police in London, the trafficker, and then his wife. So fantastic sleuthing skills, bringing the history to life, using the archives. And the big point she's making is that this issue hasn't gone away. And, you know, if I was to ask you if you could think of an example of a woman recruiting younger women for sex with a man she's in a relationship with and part of a global network, I don't know whether you could think of any examples.
Quite contemporary.
Yeah, very contemporary. And then the last book, it's my book of the year, really, The Forgotten Coast by Richard Shaw. Now, you've interviewed Richard on the program. He's a politics professor at Massey. And This is a family history, but it does something very clever because it eliminates a larger history. I became aware of this work from an essay in a website called The Conversation, which Radio New Zealand put on its website as well. So anyone who's interested in Shaw's ideas could have a look at that. But really, for Richard, the death of his father, Bob Shaw, in 2012 sort of triggered this process. It dragged to the surface what he calls a process of reflection and introspection. And so, as well as looking at his relationship with his father, he moves further back in time and looks to his mother's family, to her uncle Dick Kilhooly, who left Pungarehu in South Taranaki to study for the priesthood. So he went off to Mosgiel, to the seminary, and then to Rome. And he was a bit of a star. He got a doctorate of divinity in 2 years instead of four, before he was even 22, got ordained in 1933, but died at 44 of TB, which also Richard's dad had as well. And just a reminder of what a scourge that was for that generation. But there's this amazing picture of this sort of vanished Irish Catholic world in that part of New Zealand, and also vanished like the 14 dairy factories that were between Aukato and Opunaki. So this geography and the economic basis is kind of a cue into the third character in this book, Andrew Kilhooly, the great grandfather of Richard Shaw, who gets here from Limerick in 1874, and like a lot of men, became part of the armed constabulary. And he was at Te Pāhua, the 1881 invasion of Parihaka, and later acquired three farms on land confiscated from Māori. And so Richard writes that in Taranaki, the pioneering story can only be told because Māori were dispossessed in their homeland. So I'd never read anything like this that kind of connected these stories. You know, there's a huge amount of scholarship of varying types, really, about Parihaka that there's been over the last few decades. And so we've looked at that quite closely. And also Māori have been doing research for treaty claims about the process of land alienation. And then people are doing their family histories. But I've never seen anyone try and tie that together and work out, well, what does this mean for me? And so he's very clear that it's a personal story. It's not him speaking on behalf of the rest of his family. It's not him speaking on behalf of any of us, really. But I think it's so exciting. It's like a breakthrough in New Zealand history. And there's a really lovely acknowledgement to all the archivists who, in Rome, where he travelled to trace his uncle's history in Rome, but also in the archives here in New Zealand. So it's about, he writes, appreciating the distinction between a person's past, including what you have your own personal memories of, and then your history, which captures the wider sweep of events that we find ourselves caught up in. So, it's a book I've kept thinking about. It's beautifully produced. It's a little wee book, which kind of belies that packs quite a punch once you get drawn into it. But beautiful production and design with these kind of maps at the front and end papers, which you sort of realise the significance of as you get into the book.
Now, Mihi Paul, thank you very, very much for all of that. Paul Diamond and the books he has reviewed for us. The Disappearance of Lydia Harvey by Julia Late is published by Allen and Unwin, $40 the price. The Forgotten Coast by Richard Shaw, he's just been talking about, is published by Massey University Press and is $35. And James Courage Diaries is edited by Chris Brickell, published by Otago University Press, $45 the price.